But yeah, with Cooper Rush, he's the prototype. He's the prototype backup quarterback. He's perfect. He comes in there. He doesn't screw up 100%. The game. He keeps you in it. He gives you a chance, and he bridges the gap to Dak, right? That's what Cooper Rush is supposed to do. Bridge the gap to Dak. Get the first aid kits out. Cowboys Nation officially has Cooper Rush fever. We'll be talking about the quarterbacks here just a little bit later in the program. But first and foremost, it's the Cowboys Wire Podcast. Welcome in. Ryan O'Leary here, along with KD Drummond of USA Today's Cowboys Wire. KD, the season is far from over, my man. How about them Cowboys?
Ryan, you know, I predicted this.
You did. You called
it. You know, as soon as Dak Prescott went down, I was like, you know, the Cowboys are definitely winning their next two games. They're going to go to 3-1, probably catch the Eagles. Nobody predicted it was going to look like this. I did try to caution people not to jump off the ledge and give up on the season, but even I didn't have these levels of expectations. I thought they were definitely going to lose to Cincy. I figured that they could get a win against New York. I penciled that one into the picture because Daniel Jones is a backup quarterback. He just doesn't know it yet. So I figured that in that battle of Cooper Rush versus Daniel Jones, that they were going to be successful back when Dak was injured. Again, I doubled down on that last week, so I feel pretty confident about that. But all in all, it's just been an incredible turn of events for the way that the Cowboys Nation fan base felt after that Tampa Bay loss and losing Dak to how everybody feels now. We're at the point where people are calling for Cooper Rush to start over Dak Prescott, which is, we'll talk about that later. That's kind of silly. But yeah, it's just good vibes all around Cowboys Nation right now.
No, 100%. So when the Cowboys lost that game to Tampa and then the initial reports that Dak was going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, I mean, it was just panic. The season was over. You know, it was over.
Yep.
And now to be where we're at now is nothing short of remarkable. It's awesome. We have a season again. We're having fun talking about the Cowboys again. It's all good. And I want to get right into Cooper Rush and Dak because one thing I've learned, KD, while devouring the NFL for much of my adult life, is that no player is more popular to the fans than a backup quarterback who wins, right? That's just fans feed off that. When the backup quarterback comes in, it's doom. Yep. And then when that quarterback wins, it is just, you eat it up. And all Cooper Rush does is win. But in reality, KD, and correct me if I'm wrong, all Cooper Rush really does is this, right? He protects the ball. He plays such mediocre football that you hardly notice him out there at times, which is great. That's what you want from your backup quarterback. And he doesn't flinch, right? When the game inevitably comes down to who can score last, and that's how these games come down, because they're always close. Not like the Cowboys are running away with these games. Cooper Rush has been able to keep his poise and lead the Cowboys to scoring drives when they need him at the end. Hasn't that been the Cooper Rush experience in reality?
No, that's 100%. He was able to lead the game-winning drive against Cincinnati after they had tied it up. You know, the Cowboys raced out to the lead. They didn't do much in the middle. Cooper Rush actually threw, I think, 3 interceptable passes that the Bengals dropped that would have turned the tide of that game. But when it came down to it, he won that game. He led the game-winning drive. He was clutch against the Giants after they fell behind. They were leading. They fell behind. He turned right back around. Back-to-back touchdown drives. The Minnesota game, it was the last-second win last year. So 3-0, first Cowboys quarterback since Steve Berline to start his career 3-0 as a legitimate quarterback. Jason Garrett did it as well. But Jason Garrett also did finish his first game. Bernard Kosar did. So, yes, first since Steve Berline, trying to be the first to go 4-0 as a Cowboys-only quarterback to start their career. It's been incredible. I wanted to circle back, though, to something that you touched on with the mentality of the fan base. You know, there's a psychology to it that fans tend to look at players, for better or worse, because sometimes this is a negative, as, you know, they're nothing special. I could do that if given the opportunity. Like, a lot of people have professional sports dreams. And I think the backup quarterback represents the just give me a chance to prove it. And that's why so many fans just flock to backup quarterbacks when they get an opportunity to get in the game. Like, he's proving that, you know, the guy that nobody expected to be good can actually go out there and perform at that kind of level. So I think that's what the adoration is for the backup quarterback. But absolutely, the fans are all in on Cooper Rush right now, to the detriment of their fantasy, I think, because he's clearly not as good as Dak Prescott. But what he is, he's extremely accurate. He's extremely calm in the pocket because he doesn't have the athleticism to be able to escape the rush. The Cowboys did a phenomenal job protecting him in this last game. So that was very good to see. But just overall, his presence in the pocket is really what does him the most justice when it comes to these situations that he's been thrust into. And honestly, the way I felt about, you know, Daniel Jones being probably backup quarterback level, Carson Wentz is a little bit better, but he's playing like a backup, or at least he did against Philadelphia last week. So I actually think the Cowboys might have, once again, have a quarterback advantage in this game with their backup versus the entrenched starter of the opposition.
Yeah, we're going to get into Carson Wentz and the Commanders here coming up in a little bit. But yeah, Wentz, you would think, Katie, that it's impossible to get sacked as much as Joe Burrow, but Carson Wentz has caught Burrow. They're tied at the top. They've been sacked 15 times, the two of them. So yeah, we'll get into that. It depends on what Carson Wentz you get, right? But yeah, with Cooper Rush, he's the prototype. He's the prototype backup quarterback. He's perfect. He comes in there. He doesn't screw up 100%. The game. He keeps you in it. He gives you a chance, and he bridges the gap to Dak, right? That's what Cooper Rush is supposed to do, bridge the gap to Dak. But speaking of Dak, I can't help getting a kick. They kept showing him on the sideline, and I kept thinking in my head, Katie, it's like Dak's like, hey, guys, don't forget about me now. Hey, look, my thumb, my stitches are out. I'm going to start throwing again soon. Like, hey, guys, I'll be back soon. Hey, don't forget about Dak. Like, I feel like that's like happening because like the whole Cooper Rush versus Dak Prescott debate and storyline percolating out there is hilarious. I don't know how serious people really are with it. Maybe they're just having fun with it.
No, they're not just having fun with it. There is a sizable contingent of Cowboys fans that have never liked Dak Prescott. Either they were mad at him for taking over Tony Romo, you know, because Romo fans, which I was a huge Romo fan, a lot of the Romo fans were like, he never got the credit he deserved. So when Dak Prescott took over and Romo effectively had to retire because he couldn't stay healthy, but in their mind, Prescott took his job and didn't give it back. There's a lot of resentment there. There's a lot of resentment because Dak Prescott is a black quarterback. I mean, you know, we can put that on the table. That's part of the issue with some subsection of fans. I'm not saying it's all of them, but there's a lot of people that don't like their favorite team having a black quarterback. So that's part of it as well. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there for various reasons that would love to see the Cowboys move on from Dak. There's some people that just don't think Dak is a good quarterback, despite the fact that he's thrown for 4,900 yards and 37 touchdowns and all of the things that he's done remarkably well when he's healthy. Some people just don't care and don't see that. All they remember is what Dak looked like in 2018 when Stephen Jones decided we're not going to give you any weapons. Dez Bryant was released. Jason Witten retired, and they didn't sign anybody but Tavon Austin and Allen Hurns. And that Dak Prescott in 2018 was uncomfortable behind a bad line. He did not trust his receivers, and he was woefully inaccurate. And ever since that first half of that season, there are people that will not give Dak the benefit of the doubt. So, yeah, there's a large percentage of people that would love to have Cooper Rush take over as a starting quarterback for the Cowboys. It is a very serious conversation to them, but it's not a very serious conversation within the halls of the Star in Frisco.
People that think it's like you're saddled with Cooper Rush fever and you want Cooper Rush to be your starter, and that's why the Cowboys are winning. Guys, it's the defense. It's the freaking defense right now. We're going to get into that here coming up.
It is.
It's the defense, man. But maybe some reinforcements coming up here. We heard we have news that Dalton Schultz is back at practice, KD. But we were talking right before we hit record. You've been impressed with the rookie tight ends and what they've been able to do to fill in, right? Schultz getting hurt and being out along with Dak was a pretty little side story there. It was like, man, that's another big hit. He was supposed to be a key target for them. And it put a lot of pressure on CeeDee Lamb, right? So Schultz being back at practice, good sign. But those rookie tight ends actually filling in, also a very good sign.
Yeah, so Jake Ferguson was a fourth-round pick out of Wisconsin, much better than anybody anticipated. He just has the Wisconsin offensive lineman mentality when it comes to blocking. He is the, I believe, grandson of Barry Alvarez or, you know, son-in-law, something like that. He's related to Barry Alvarez, so he has football DNA in his body. And he's really been a real surprise the way that he's performed so far through training camp, through preseason, and now he's getting the chance to do it in the games. He was already tight end two. Remember, the Cowboys had Sean McEwen, who was a UDFA from a couple seasons ago. They had Jeremy Sprinkle in camp. Both of those guys were cut because Jake Ferguson played so well during the preseason and training camp. Then they have a UDFA called named Peyton Hendershot out of Indiana. And Hendershot had some off-the-field things in Indiana, but has been a model citizen. And he also has, as the kids say, he has that dog in him. Like, these dudes bark at the opposition. These are rookies who haven't proved anything in the NFL. They're trash talking. They're celebrating. They just have a swagger to them that Schultz doesn't necessarily have. So the Cowboys, obviously, they franchise tag Schultz. They didn't give him the long-term contract. It made sense. He seems to be a talented player, but his production is more so a function of the Cowboys' high-powered offense. So, you know, rightly so, fans have looked at this as, okay, they tagged him to bridge the gap, and he's definitely still the best of all of the tight ends. We saw one of the tight ends catch a pass and go out of bounds when the Cowboys were trying to run out the clock, rookie mistake type of thing. So he definitely has the awareness that the youngsters don't have. But it'll be very interesting to see how much playing time a guy like Hendershot has now that Schultz is back. Because before the third tight end, or throughout the process, the third tight end gets like 7 to 10 snaps a game. The Cowboys do run a lot of three tight end personnel. It's one of their favorite personnel groupings. So we'll see a lot of that. But yeah, those guys showed and proved that they are ready for the NFL, even with that mental mistake that they made. They are ready physically for the grind. They were outstanding when it came to blocking in this game. And really, even though Schultz came into the league with a reputation as being a strong blocker, they outperformed him when it came to blocking in this game. So very interesting to see how they're going to divvy up snaps with those three guys moving forward.
Yeah, I got to admit, the Hendershot guy, I mean, he caught a couple balls against the Giants there, and I'm like, who is this guy? You know, I was like, I never heard of Peyton Hendershot. That's my fault. That's my bad for not knowing the 53. I was like, who is this guy? I'm like looking him up. So yeah, no, that's been a development for sure. So we mentioned earlier, KD, that those who are obsessed with Cooper Rush and want Cooper Rush to be the guy and think that this is a Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe type deal, or Foles and Carson, whatever, the backup comes in and leads you to the Super Bowl, right? And you don't take him out. We can't forget about Dak coming back, of course, but we also can't forget about the defense. The defense, guys, the defense has been freaking unbelievable and dominant. Let's get into that here right after this.
This is the Tipico Sportsbook Fantasy Minute. Let's make this interesting.
I'm Corey Benigni of TheHuddle.com, here to bring you strong plays for week number 4. Denver Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson at Las Vegas Raiders. Vegas ranks 6th against quarterbacks, allowing more than 25 fantasy points per game through the first 3 weeks. One added bonus here is two touchdowns have come on the ground, and the defense has given up 273 yards per game through the air. Three straight contests with at least 23.4 fantasy points is encouraging, especially considering one of those was Ryan Tannehill. Look for Wilson to get back on track this week. Rashad Penny at the Detroit Lions. Penny has rushed for 141 yards at a 4.4 yard per carry clip so far, but no touchdowns have hamstrung his fantasy worth. He has yet to get into double figures in PPR scoring in any game this year, and a now healthy Kenneth Walker cutting into his touches makes this one a tough sell. Enter the Lions to ease some of those fears. Detroit has surrendered the highest rushing touchdown efficiency rate for the position, the most fantasy points per touch, the most PPR points, the most non-PPR points, and the 11th most offensive yards per game to the position through 3 weeks. If there were ever a time to roll Penny out there, this would be it. Buffalo Bills wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie at Baltimore Ravens. Primarily operating out of the slot, which is a productive role in this offensive design, McKenzie offers weekly consideration in deeper fantasy leagues. Baltimore will have all eyes trained on stopping Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, which frees up McKenzie to operate against solo coverage in space. He could be on the high end of volume from Josh Allen, just like last week. There's still a bit of downside just because of the volume the other receivers see, which obviously cuts into the opportunities. Thanks in large part to the week 2 destruction from Miami's passing game, Baltimore is the easiest defense to exploit statistically speaking for this week. Green Bay Packers tight end Robert Tonyan versus the New England Patriots. Still working his way back from last year's torn ACL, Tonyan has no more than 37 yards in each of the first 3 games. He has not scored, though last week's 6 reception performance was an encouraging sign. The Patriots have given up a league-high 4 touchdowns to the position on just 17 receptions, and that's the hope here. Tonyan is merely a flyer for a score and remains a major risk in fantasy lineups. For more award-winning fantasy football news, tips, and advice, please be sure to check out TheHuddle.com.
That was your Tipico Sportsbook Fantasy Minute. Win your fantasy football league with thehuddle.com and use them to dominate player prop bets at Tipico Sportsbook. For a limited time, new Tipico Sportsbook users in Colorado and New Jersey from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. See Tipico.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado.
Yeah, Katie, I think another thing we've learned over the past 2 weeks is that the talent level of the quarterback, it's always vital, but it isn't as vital to team success when you have a defense that just completely dominates the competition. And so some of the stats from this Monday night game, I mean, the Cowboys pressured Daniel Jones 24 times on Monday night. The second highest total in the last 2 years of the NFL and the most Jones has ever faced in his career, which is saying something considering the coaching and offensive line play that Jones has had. And I agree with you. I'm not a Daniel Jones guy, Katie. You sent some shots at DJ here in this show, a little bit subtle shots. I will say I gained some respect for DJ in that game. I thought he played his ass off. I thought he was under siege and he kept the Giants in the game when he kept the Giants in the game when the Cowboys could have run away with it. Dallas also held the Giants. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say the referees kept the Giants in the game. That was one of those make some calls to keep the games close. That was one of those games on Monday night because the Cowboys were definitely getting the short end of the stick. They had several sacks of Daniel Jones. They should have had several more or holding calls, and they were not calling any of the holding calls on the Giants in that game. So I just want to put that out there for our listeners. They saw what was happening.
It was, I used to push back on this when we first started the show, and I didn't really know that this happened, but oh my God.
I got you on board, man.
I'm on board. It's egregious, man. It's egregious. I'm watching some of this stuff, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then there's, Giants Twitter are complaining that the Cowboys aren't getting flagged enough, and it's like, guys, come on. Are you seeing their instant replays? It's so bad.
Everybody from Cowboys Nation and everybody that was truly impartial was talking about how one side of the referees was. And then I look at Giants Twitter and they're like, oh, the Cowboys are getting all the calls. Jerry Jones caught the rest.
100%.
What are you talking about?
That's a thing. That is a thing. So, yeah, it is just like, I mean, receivers just getting blatantly tackled before the ball arrives and there's no, it's like, what? And so I don't want to, let's not get into that rabbit hole because we could spend a lot of time in that rabbit hole.
We could do a weekly show on that. So.
Yeah. It's just the pressure rate, right? The pressure that the Cowboys are dialing up. It's just utter dominance, right?
Yep.
A week after they tormented Joe Burrow in the Bengals, they did it again to the Giants on a night when the most disruptive player in the league, Micah Parsons, was on a pitch count due to an illness, right, Katie? So just amazing stuff from the defense. They've done it back-to-back weeks. They've completely wrecked the game for the opposing offense. And that's really why you're winning these games. The defense is just dominating, and Cooper Rush is keeping his cool at the end of the ballgame and leading you to scoring drives. But let's not forget about the defense here.
Yeah, no. The Cowboys have faced three teams with not the best offensive lines. Tampa Bay, obviously, over the offseason, they lost all of their interior offensive linemen, had some injuries. So, I mean, it was their third best guard was playing. So, you take it with a little bit of grain of salt, but clearly the Cowboys' defense and their pass rush is one of the best in the league. Micah Parsons is on pace for 22 and a half sacks. Dorrance Armstrong and DeMarcus Lawrence are now on pace for 17 sacks on the season. I mean, they're not going to keep up that pace, but even to be in that conversation through multiple games, after three games, you start to say, okay, well, maybe they actually do have something. And as you mentioned, Parsons was only, he called it himself. He said 60%. I was at 60%, but my 60% is better than everybody else at 100%. And I'm like, I love that. I love the swagger. I love to hear that kind of thing.
He's right.
Out of your star player. He is. He really is. It's amazing to watch that dude play football. I can't believe that the Cowboys got blessed with that situation that it wouldn't have happened. If Denver had drafted a quarterback in 2021 when they should have, instead of Surtain, who is phenomenal, by the way, as a cornerback, but if they had made the right call position value wise, then the Cowboys would not have gotten Michael Parsons. So sometimes you're really fortunate to have other teams do stupid things ahead of you in the draft. That's probably the storyline, that the least talked about storyline of draft success, is that somebody ahead of you had to do something stupid for that guy to fall into your lap. But the defense overall, Diggs had a couple interceptions go through his hands early in the game. Then he got the last one to seal the game. So, you know, the turnover machine is back. He's back in his groove right now. Overall, Anthony Barr is conducting the linebackers. He's leading the linebackers. Malik Hooker is leading the secondary as far as, you know, being inspirational and getting guys in the right position. This defense overall is just incredible, and all credit goes to Dan Quinn and his assistants. We can't forget about the assistants like Al Harris and, you know, Durde, the defensive line coach. Those guys are doing a phenomenal job in getting these guys ready to play each week and getting them motivated to play on game day.
You know, back in the day in high school, KD, we used to, so it was always the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We would meet at the high school. We'd play a little football, or maybe it was Thanksgiving morning. I can't remember. Yeah. I think it was Thanksgiving morning. We'd meet at the high school and we'd play football. And I'd always say, you know, that would be my 60% is better than your 100 because of the drinking that went on the night before. I would be a little bit under 100%. That would be my line. My 60 is better than your 100. What'd you think of DeMarcus Lawrence versus the Evan Neal, the Giants rookie right tackle? Welcome to the NFL, young man.
Yeah, he christened him he christened a boat. I mean, he smashed a bottle on that dude's head. Like, it was so incredible to watch the way that Lawrence just completely frazzled. Evan Neal had no chance.
Poor guy.
And we knew that coming into the game. We knew it coming into the game that the guy was going to be overmatched. But, man, did he get undressed. That was incredible to see, because going into the game, like, okay, let's set the stage. DeMarcus Lawrence got a big contract. And since he got the big contract, his pressure numbers have been elite. His run stopping has been elite. His sack totals have not been where they were before he got the contract. So people that box score scout and only look at sack numbers have been saying, oh, Lawrence is overpaid, he's not worth it. And then this year, through two games, he had zero pressures. So those people were starting to be right. And then he came out and he probably had, I have no idea how he didn't win Defensive Player of the Week. He did what he did in basically three quarters because he was out with a foot injury for almost a full quarter. He had like three sacks, three quarterbacks hits, nine total pressures, a couple tackles for loss. He was a madman abusing Evan Neal in this game. Very happy to see that happen for him. Now let's see it carry over when he's facing Sam Cosmi this week against the Washington Commanders, the Commies.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun to see. Yeah, six solo tackles for DeMarcus Lawrence for Tank. So the Tank was back. That's for sure. Yep. Phenomenal. One thing that's interesting right now that's going on, and this is just small sample size, we're 3 weeks in, KD, almost 70% of the league is averaging like less than 22 points per game right now. When you look at the scoring is down, and that's interesting to me. Like, why is that? Is it the preseason? Are guys just not getting enough reps? Is it too small of a sample size? I think that could be part of it, but maybe it's defensive coordinators like Dan Quinn understanding that the modern day NFL is you're building a defense that makes life miserable for the quarterback. Like, it's like attacking the source, cutting the head off the snake. I don't know what I'm talking about here, KD. All I know is that pressure is winning in today's NFL, and the Cowboys are pressuring the quarterback at like a mind-boggling rate right now. Is it just getting faster and quicker on defense, and that's how the Cowboys are building themselves right now? Like, why is scoring so far down? I feel like the way the Cowboys are playing on defense, there's a relation there somewhere.
Yeah, I think you've made a good observation, because normally, like, the book in the NFL was always that the defense is ahead of the offense to start the season, right? Like, that's always been the case. Defenses read and react. The offense knows what they're doing, but because of whatever reason, the offense is just kind of slower to get going through preseason, through the first couple weeks. And normally, because teams are holding out their starters, the regular season starts the same way, that the offense just takes a little bit longer to get into a groove and to get into their rhythm. But over the past several years, we've still seen those 40 to 33 games over the course of the first couple weeks of the season. And it balances out the, you know, 15 to 13 games and the 12 cents. But in 2022, we're not getting those offensive explosions. So it's really kind of weird to see us revert back to how it was in the 90s and the 2000s, where scoring was down early in the season. I don't think it has anything to do with rule changes or the way the refs are calling it. I think it's going to be one of those things that eventually evens itself out, because all rules are just geared towards the offense being able to do whatever they want to do. So I think by the time we get to week 17, it'll be, you know, you'll really start to see the separation of quality defenses like the Cowboys being able to still limit their opponents and then the other teams kind of starting to allow more points. But right now, early in the season, it's just crazy how many defensive struggles there are. I mean, the Cowboys total was 39. The Broncos and the 49ers total 21. Cards and Rams total 32. There's a lot of low-scoring games that are going on around the league right now, and it's kind of interesting to see.
Now, that's just the nerd in me. I wanted to get your take on that question, but you just nailed it. Yeah, you're right. If scoring stays down into like week 8 or 9, the refs will step in and they'll take care of that and they'll get scoring back up. That's there exactly what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. All right, we got plenty to get to.
There is a business aspect of it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So we've got plenty of talk to do. We have plenty of making fun of Carson Wentz to do here in the next segment. So we're going to get to that here coming up next. First, our friends at the Bet Slippin' Podcast have their play of the week, and then we'll get Katie's betting units. We'll be right back.
This is the Tipico Sportsbook Minute. Let's make this interesting.
Hello, everyone. This is Nathan with the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Be sure to check us and our sportsbook provider, Tipico Sportsbook, out. All odds are provided by our friends at Tipico Sportsbook, a global sports betting leader, which is now live in New Jersey and Colorado. Make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. New users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. 21 plus. See site for details. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. All right, on to the game. Sunday Night Football, we have the Bucs versus the Chiefs. The Bucs are 3 at home against the spread since 2020 as a home underdog and 5-1 as an underdog in general since adding Brady. Chris Godwin is practicing and Mike Evans will return. Tom Brady in primetime with a sick defense led by an elite secondary while also being an underdog and likely being faded by the public. Give me the Bucs plus 1.5.
That was your Tipico Sportsbook Minute. For a limited time, new users in Colorado and New Jersey from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. See Tipico.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado.
All right, here we go. Can the Cooper Rush train keep chugging along? Chugga chugga choo choo, chugga chugga choo choo. Sorry, man. These damn toys my kid plays with. I got these songs rattling around in my head.
I was about to say.
Did your kids have that train? That freaking train, Katie? Chugga chugga choo choo, chugga chugga choo. Oh God.
It's not just that train for me. That chugga 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 choo choo is reminiscent of a Pajanimals episode.
Yes.
When your kid gets to Pajanimals, let me know.
Oh, I will let you know. I haven't gotten there
you'll
yet.
You'll definitely be singing that even more.
It's freaking Cocomelon everywhere right now. Cocomelon. So.
Oh my God! Yeah. I remember.
So okay. So back to the Cowboys and. What'd you call them? The commies? You're calling them the commies? That's a good one.
Yeah, the commies.
The commies.
Yeah, you know, they're the commies. They're 100% the commies.
I like that. Feels like a good spot.
The commies have taken over Washington.
Yes. It feels like a great spot for Dallas just because Carson Wentz is that quarterback. And if, you know, and like yep. I said, if you thought no quarterback could be sacked more than Joe Burrow, well, guess what? Carson Wentz is on. He's on the mission. He wants to get there and he's closing that gap and he has. They're tied at the top of the league, 15 sacks in 3 games. Holy crap. We all know Carson Wentz, right? From his time with the Eagles, the Cowboys have played him a ton. Capable of a big play or two, mm-hmm. KD. Also is going to throw you a couple on defense that you can pick off. And he's kind of a sitting duck back there. And he just makes these decisions that are just like bury your hand in your heads or laugh at him. So the Cowboys should just be able to go back in the kitchen and cook up the same recipe, right? Manage the game of Cooper Rush, win the turnover battle, and let the defense eat. Am I oversimplifying this? It feels like a good spot for the Cowboys, but I always kind of worry when I feel that confident. You know, what are you thinking about this matchup?
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you. Carson Wentz, he is 4-4 career against the Cowboys. So it's not as if the Cowboys have just dominated him. But his offense has not really been productive, over the last half of his career. Like the numbers have definitely gone down, when he plays those games. I'm just going through his scoring right now. Like the Eagles scored 23, 27, 39, 20, 23, 10, 17, 23. So in the last half of his career, the Cowboys have kind of solved him and they haven't faced him with Dan Quinn at the helm. And I think that's going to make all the difference in the world. Dan Quinn knows how to take advantage of a quarterback that holds onto the ball too long. The pass rush is just so ferocious. And that's really what the problem was for Wentz last week. He refused to get rid of the ball. He was sacked 9 times. I think five or six of those, you 100% put it on the quarterback. Like, it was longer than 3 seconds in the pocket, and he just refused to get rid of the ball. So I anticipate that based on what happened to him in that game and how the conversation has gone in the week since, that he's going to do a better job of getting rid of the ball in this game against Dallas. So I'm not going to predict that they're going to get 9 sacks, but I will predict that they will harass him as much or more than what the Eagles did last week. Because we got to remember, the Eagles, before that game, they had 4 sacks of the team in the first 2 weeks. I mean, that's pedestrian. That's middle of the road towards the bottom half of the league, 4 sacks. Nothing spectacular. But they got 9 in one game. That vaulted them temporarily into the league lead in sacks with 12 on the – I'm sorry, they had 3 before that, and that vaulted them into the lead with 12 before they had the 9 of Carson Wentz. So 3 was even less than 4, obviously. But the Cowboys have 13 sacks, and again, with the caveat that they play some teams with bad offensive lines, they haven't played against this combination of bad offensive line and quarterback that holds the ball too long. Joe Burrow was close, but not to the extent of Carson Wentz. So I could easily see the Cowboys trying to duplicate what they did against the Giants, 20-plus total pressures. And how insane is it that we look at what they did against the Giants and realistically can turn around and say, yeah, they can probably do it again the next week. Like, that's how good the Cowboys defense is. I told you the pace that the guys are on already. They aren't even really blitzing people right now. I mean, technically you could say Parsons blitzes from the linebacker position occasionally, but they haven't even really broken out the exotic blitzes of having guys like Barr and Van Der Esch or the corners or any of that come into play, because the front four pass rush is so dominant. It's just, I'm so amazed with what Dan Quinn has done with this defense and this pressure. Honestly, I'm more worried about losing him to the presidential race of 2024 than a head coaching position in 2023, because that dude could walk on water with the way that America's team and Cowboys Nation is lifting him up right now. Insane job by that guy.
There were a lot of good tweets during the game on Monday night, but that might have been my favorite one that you had. Yeah, Dan Quinn for 2024. That was some good stuff.
Yeah.
Make sure
I vote for him.
Please follow KD Drummond on Twitter if you're not. If you like the Cowboys, you're not following KD Drummond. What is going on with you?
I don't know what
they're. I agree with you 100%. I like the spot for Dallas, and I worry though, KD, that I'm just being a sucker. Like, I'm just going with the public, and I'm going based on what just happened. And Carson Wentz got sacked 100 times in their game, and then the Cowboys basically tormented Daniel Jones and pressured him on every drop back. And it's like, why wouldn't this merge? But I worry that I'm just focusing on what just happened. Most books have the line at 3 points, which feels like pounceable if you think Dallas can win this thing by a field goal. And I do. I think they could win. I think they win this game by a touchdown, personally. But looking at Tipico Sportsbook, which is, you know, our friends over at Tipico, at the time we're recording this, it's at 3.5. 3.5 at even money. So what do you think about that? So let's play with that line. 3.5 at even money. Would you feel comfortable putting some of KD's betting units on that line at 3.5?
I love the fact that you have to make sure you caveat it every time you say KD's betting units.
Yeah.
After what we did in week one.
Yes.
The line hasn't.
One of the funniest things that's ever happened on the show, honestly.
Yeah, I think so.
KD's unit.
The line hasn't moved. Yeah, KD's units. Yeah. That's for Mrs. KD. The line hasn't moved since it opened on Tuesday morning or Monday night, whatever you want to call it. It's been 3.5. The Cowboys have been, minus 170. The over-under has been at 41.5, I think, the entire week. So 3 days in a row without much movement, which means that the betting public is, you know, kind of comfortable with this spread right now. I am with you. I think that, even with the caveat that I don't think that Carson Wentz is going to go down as many times as he did in week three, I think he's going to be pressured. I think those sacks are going to turn into throwaways as opposed to, sacks or completions. You know, I don't think anything's going to change on that end because I actually like the secondary of the Cowboys better than the secondary of the Eagles. So I would probably put 2 units on the Cowboys to cover the spread. My big question is whether I would do over-under in this game, because the Cowboys have been under their first 2 weeks, and then the typical line started at 39.5 and then ended at 38.5, and the total was 39. So they completely nailed the over-under. It's like they kind of settled in on what a Cowboys game looks like. So I think, again, 41 points feels really, really like a good bet for this game. And if that's the case, I mean, is that like a, you know, a 21-20 game? Probably not. 24-17, that feels like where this game should end up, right? Cowboys 24, Washington 17, bet the under, but, you know, maybe it's a little bit different. But so I would put my money on the spread and probably stay away from the total, because I think that they're nailing it right now when it comes to Cowboys games.
Yeah, it's like 41.5. You just want to bet the over, but then you got to stop yourself, right?
You
stop yourself, and you got to like live in reality.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
100%. So good stuff. We'll see. We'll see what happens. See how many times the Cowboys can sack Carson Wentz. We'll see if Cooper Rush can go to 4-0, and then we'll see if Dak Prescott can get back in the lineup. There's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, but
the
Cowboys hurry up.
They could be 3-1. They could be 3-1. KD. Freaking awesome.
Amazing.
Pretty good.
Absolutely amazing.
Pretty good. Great stuff as always from KD Drummond. Check him out on Twitter. Check him out on Cowboys Wire. I'm Ryan O'Leary again. Thanks for joining us. Go Cowboys.
This USA Today Sports Podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.